1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to be looking at the topic of prayerlessness. It's about prayer, but specifically about the concerns and the struggles and the challenges that we have with keeping an active prayer life going. And so I'm going to be reading as a part of that for this morning with from 1 Samuel chapter 12. The context of this is that the people of Israel have asked for a king. Samuel has granted him them that request, and Samuel anointed Saul as king, and they are now just in the first stages of understanding what it is that they really requested as a king, and things are not going well for the people at this time. And so Samuel in chapter 12 begins by telling them and reminding his people about how God has provided for them over time, but they have been unfaithful to him, and picking up then at verse 12. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, "No, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. And now behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his word, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now therefore stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. And you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for yourself a king." So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for ourselves a king." Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from him, from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, or they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." I want to focus our attention especially on the first part of on verses 23 and 24, but especially the first part of verse 23, where Samuel says this: "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." And let's ask God at this time to bless us as we hear his word today. Father, we are in your presence. We have confessed our sins. You have now reminded us that we are presented before you as though we were without sin, and yet sin is a part of our lives. Bless us now as we hear your word. Keep us focused on what you have to say to us today. Remove anything that would distract us from hearing your word to us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is indeed an important part of the life of the Christian. That is at the foundation of what we understand about the Christian life. Now, last fall, I also preached about prayer. I know you remember that because you remember all my sermons, right? We preached about really the importance of prayer. I used Colossians chapter 1, the model prayer that Paul presents there. And we talked then, we learned then about how important prayer is for us and how important, secondly, prayer is for the congregation to be praying for those in ministry and those who are in ministry, not only ministers and missionaries, etc., but also those who are involved in leadership in the church and different activities of ministry within the church ought to also be praying for your ministry, for prayer is the foundation of all Christian living and all ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. But there's a reality in our lives. There's a reality that reminds us that we do not pray always as we ought. The importance of prayer is something that Jesus Christ reminds us of when he prays and teaches us to pray the Lord's Prayer in the preparation leading up in the liturgy. We read about the context of that and we read the words of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaching his disciples to pray not only, but also Jesus setting the example. He would spend hours, nights in prayer. When is the last time you spent 20 minutes or half an hour at one time in prayer? Our confession that we'll be looking at a little bit later on in the service also reminds us of that from chapter 21 and article 21 and chapter 3. The first part of that says that prayer with thanksgiving being one special part of religious worship is by God required of all men so that it may be accepted. And it is to be made in the name of the Son, etc. And we'll be reading and looking at that. We'll be reciting that after the service or after the sermon today. It is required of us. So when we do not pray, when we are living a life of prayerlessness, we are sinning against the Lord. That's what we need to look at. So I want to look at you this morning at some of the foundational elements of this sinful act of prayerlessness. As Samuel reminds his people, he reminds us about that as well. It'll be an opportunity to review your prayer life, to reflect on building on a prayer life that you have active, perhaps, and you are actively involved in that and are able to help others when they struggle with their prayer life. For some of you, it may be an opportunity to reflect on the fact that you once led a more active prayer life than you do now, and it's time to reflect on that and say, hey, I need to get back on track again. For others, it may be the first time really that you are giving serious consideration to how important prayer is in the life of the Christian, and you need to begin an active life of prayer. And in that context, we want to look at this. What is it? What is it that keeps us from praying? What distracts us from an active life of prayer? So we want to look at this prayerlessness. We want to look at the disease of prayerlessness. And then, secondly, we want to look at the cure of this disease of prayerlessness. And then this afternoon, I want to look at some symptoms of this by way of 10 excuses that we make about why we don't pray as we ought. So that's the flow of our messages for today. We must be reminded of the fact that we are called upon to have and build on a spiritual relationship with our covenant God. Your spiritual life will not rise above your prayer life. As goes your prayer life, so goes your walk with God. The spiritual life, furthermore, of any congregation will never rise above the prayer life of those who are a part of the membership and a part of the discipleship of a particular congregation. That's how important prayer is for us. Our text for today comes to us from 1 Samuel 12, then. And it helps us to review this problem of sinlessness. We are not the only ones struggling with sinlessness in our lives. It is an ongoing issue that has a component in which Satan does everything he can to keep us from living an active life of prayer. He knows how important prayer is in the life of the Christian. And he knows our weak spots, and he knows what will distract us easily from the importance of the activity of prayer. God's people had just been gone through a time of the period of the judges that ruled over Israel. They requested that they have a king because, after all, everybody has a king. Sound familiar? Just want to be like everybody else. All the nations around us, Samuel, have a king. We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. Really? Have we not been set apart to be distinct and do things differently than the rest of the world? That was their sin. That was a part of their sin of requesting a king rather than following the plan that God had for them at this time. And we look at this and then we begin to understand what is really going on. This is a part of Samuel's farewell speech, so we know that we need to pay just a little bit more close attention to these words, because just as you may speak to someone who is nearing the end of their earthly pilgrimage, and you want to hear what they have to say, because what they're going to be saying now is not just going to be about the weather. I can tell you that, right? It's going to be about something that's on their heart. And you want to be listening in to hear what they have to say to you, because what they are saying now is a part of their farewell words. And pay attention. Samuel is speaking these words as a part of his farewell message to God's people. The disease of prayerlessness. What is prayerlessness? We could define it, I suppose, as praying less than we know we should, or less than we want to. But it is more than our desire to pray. It is God's command to pray, and therefore prayerlessness ought to be more focused on the object of our prayer, God himself, in which it is to praying less than God himself, our Father in heaven, desires of us. That's where it's at. Now, if you look at the Barna investigations that they do, and they have different investigations that go in different areas of the Christian life, here's one of the statistics that they come up with, that the average Christian worldwide, the average Christian prays, get this, are you ready for this? 1 minute a day. Really? Oh, but the pastors must be doing much better though, right? The same research will show that pastors are five times better than that. They pray 5 minutes a day. Really? So we pastors are in the same challenge area that Christians in general are. Shame on us. Oh, not taking the time to pray as we ought. Samuel begins his message about this prayerlessness by showing the people how important and how powerful prayer really is. It's the time of the wheat harvest. This would be about May or June in our calendar, in the Middle East. There's no rain during this time. There's intentionally. I mean, that's how the seasons go, because it's a time for the harvest. Samuel, in verses 16 and verses 17 and verse 18, we read there that Samuel says, "I will call upon the Lord that he will send rain." Really, say the people, this is not a rain time. No, but Samuel says God's timing is not always the same as our timing, and he has the power to. He's the Lord of the laws of nature. He can suspend them or apply them any times he wishes. And at the conclusion of his prayer, there's thunder and there's rain. And we read in verse 18 that the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel his prophet. This would be very much perhaps as amazing as if we were going through a time of drought for 6 or 7 weeks just prior to the harvest, and we just need that last rain in order to sharpen up the corn and the soybeans and the wheat or whatever it is that we may have. And we say, you know, we really need to gather together as a church to have a prayer for rain. And we gather for rain, and during the time of the congregational prayer, at the conclusion of the prayer, kaboom, and thunder of rain comes down. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, that's how powerful prayer is. And Samuel reminds his people about that. You see, prayer is more than just neglect. Oh, I really should do this more. I'm not doing this enough. It's more than just regretting that we are not doing it, the prayers, as often as we should. Samuel, in verse 23, reminds us, "Far be it from me if I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." It's sin. That cuts it right to the heart for us. It's a disease. I mean, just like it would be thinking about a physical disease. And if you don't tend to it, it's going to get worse. But this is a spiritual disease. Dealing with eternal matters, not earthly matters of the body and of life as we know it. And if we let it go, it will not go well for us. We read in verse 25 that Samuel says, "Yet if you persist or you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away." If we don't take care of this, things will go badly and from bad to worse in our lives. That's how important prayer is in the life of the Christian. But what causes prayerlessness? What's the cause? Well, at the heart of it, the root cause of prayerlessness is sinfulness. Going from prayerlessness to sinfulness. Full of sin. Lack of prayer. Opposites. But they go together because we are not motivated to pray as we ought. And we can sometimes feel guilty. And we say, "I don't like feeling guilty." Well, guilt is a good thing. It serves like pain does for our bodies. If I cut myself while I'm out in the bush cutting down a tree and I get a bit of a scratch or so on from that, I'm going to jolt back for whatever I'm doing and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, something isn't quite right here. I just feel a stab of pain. It's something that needs to be taken care of. Something is not right." That's what guilt does to us in our spiritual life. It reminds us that something is not right. Take a step back, check things out, analyze things, find out what it is that's creating and causing that guilt in our life. We can't be blaming our sin on others. We can't be blaming our causes for prayerlessness on other people. We need to go to the Lord and work on overcoming it. We deal with it as God would have us deal with it in our own lives. There are those who struggle with prayerlessness in their lives. Does this mean then that we are out of God's will because we are not living a life of prayer? By God's grace, it does not mean that. Samuel reminds us in verse 22, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself." He has chosen us. We belong to him. And his interest is in maintaining his faithfulness to us. Although we don't keep our faithfulness to him, he remains faithful to us, and he brings us through experiences so that we will once again reflect on what it is that is causing us to wander away and be distracted from our relationship with God in our lives. God is the one who promises to, if we turn to him, to get us back on the track. We'll talk about that when we look at some different aspects of getting help for that in our lives. But what happens? What is the result now? Look at the definition. We saw the cause. What is the result? What happens when we don't pray as God calls us to pray? Well, verse 21 reminds us about the heart of that, where in verse 21, Samuel writes these words, "Do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty." Well, what's he talking about? He's saying that if we are not praying when we have different things going on in our lives, if we are not turning to God, then we are turning to other things. But there's something else. God is secondary at best, or perhaps even in the last thing that we're thinking about when we are turning to other things for prayer. Booze, celebrations, fun with friends, just so we can forget about our problems. Anything, but we, in our prayerlessness, don't turn to God. And the result of that is broken relationships in our lives. Spouses will sense a distance. Children will sense a loss of stability and security in the home when prayer is not being practiced in the home. Brothers and sisters will notice that there's just not that same warm relationship that there were. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in the family as well as brothers and sisters in the church. We'll know it, we'll feel it, that something isn't right, because of strained and broken relationships with one another on a horizontal level, let alone with a more important relationship vertically of a strained relationship with our God. Is there a cure for this? By God's grace, there is. And that's important for us to remember. We need to remember that in our prayerlessness, we need always have the opportunity to turn to God. He stands ready to help us. And that leads us to this cure that he's talking about, that we are going to be looking at now. This may make us feel uncomfortable talking about this. Are you comfortable? I am sometimes when I think about this and apply it to my own lives. I look in my mirror. Am I praying only those 5 minutes a day as a pastor, as a professor of theology? You know, that discomfort is okay. It's like that guilt. It's the first part of the cure for your problem. Because the fact that you feel uncomfortable says that you do have, reminds you, that you do have a relationship with God that's not going well and you need to get this back on track again. You see, all is not lost when we are in the midst of prayerlessness. First thing we need to do is recognize the symptoms of our spiritual condition. We need to forget all of those excuses that we'll be looking at this afternoon. I got 10 of them that we'll be looking at. The reasons why we point to somewhere else and everywhere else except to ourselves for this prayerlessness in our lives. I'm not going to list those because we're going to look at that in just a couple of hours, right after lunch, Lord willing. But here's the thing, when we are living a life of prayerlessness, we need to do something about it. God convicts us about that in our lives. And the cure involves getting help. So it would be easy for us, perhaps, to say, well, if you're having a time, going through a time of prayerlessness, turn to God in prayer and he will help you. Well, that kind of begs the question just a little bit, does it not? Would that not be rather like trying to help out a blind man with his issues by giving him a book to read? Maybe. Or a deaf person just passing along a podcast or a cassette. Or no, they don't use cassettes anymore. I guess today do we now. Some kind of a lecture by somebody about how they can improve their deaf. That doesn't exactly work, does it? But God gives us a gift. And that gift is the church. He gives us each other. When you are going through a time of prayerlessness, fess up before God, but fess up with one another and say, hey, I'm struggling. Can you help me? Go to a mature brother or sister in the church, a mature family member, a spiritually mature family member, your mom or your dad or your grandpa, your uncle, your aunt, your dear beloved great-grandmother, for instance, whom you say, well, now there's a woman of prayer. Go to your elders. Go to your pastor. Wrestle with this. Go with them. Talk about what you're wrestling with. That's how God helps us. When we are going through these very difficult times, and that will help us to move into this, the remedy for the disease. The big difference between a physical disease and a spiritual disease is that there is a remedy. I have diabetes. If I don't watch my sugar intake, and if I don't watch what I'm doing, if I don't take the medications that are prescribed for me, and if I just let it go, you know what's going to be happening to this old body of mine. And it won't go well. So as we look at this, begin to understand that there is a remedy. And even with the diseases that we have, there are times in which it has gone too far or there just isn't a cure. And the Lord takes us home to be with Him. But with the spiritual disease of prayerlessness, there is an eternal remedy. As we turn to others to help us, they will point us to God and help us. Read Scripture with us. Encourage us with words of promises from God. It is never too late for God to be able to help you along in your life and with the disease of prayerlessness in your life. One of the things that would be very important for us and that God challenges us to do too is if we find ourselves in a time of prayerlessness, do an analysis and find out what is it that got you distracted in the first place. What is it that's been happening in your life that kind of got you into a position where all of a sudden you feel like it's just not working, I'm not able to pray as I ought to pray? Address that. With a spiritual mentor. So that you can once again get back on track, find out, because Satan knows what that issue is in your life and he will be badgering. He will constantly nag you in whatever that area of your life is that may be getting you distracted from your relationship with God and thus not being able to pray. Identify that and ask God. Turn it over to God. He's the God that can provide in all situations. That's what Samuel is talking about when he, in verse 24, not only does he say, in verse 23, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord, but I cease to pray for you. But in verse 24, here's the answer, he says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Look at all the wonderful things he has done for you in your life. And for those who have gone on before you. And for those who are living around you today, knowing that he will continue to do that in the future if you... But fear the Lord. Repentance is at the heart of this. Turning your heart towards Jesus Christ. He's the one who calls us to prayer in our lives. Then it is that we have an opportunity to renew and reestablish, reaffirm the fact that God has called us to be his child. That we are his. And he cares for us. And he watches over us. And he wants us to have a live, active life of prayer with him. God's call to us is to stay on track when our lives, prayer lives are going well. God's call to us is to get back on track if our prayer life has taken a detour. God's call to us is to get on track if we have not even yet begun that wonderful relationship of prayer with our God in our lives. If your prayer life is alive and well, help others who are struggling. your prayer life is dull and drab, renew it, refresh it, turn to others to help you, and get back on track. If you have not yet begun that active prayer life, look to the face of Jesus Christ. He's calling you to get into a relationship with him such that you commune with him on a daily basis, and thus deal with a sin of prayerlessness that is in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, indeed, it's easy for us to talk about prayerlessness in our lives, and as we think that through, we pray, Father, that you would help us to reflect on our own prayer life. May we not be amongst the average of 1 minute per day, really. We pray, Father, that you would help us to develop our prayer life so that it is active and ongoing, live, and one in which we can share with others so that they may know the difference between a life of prayer and a life of prayerlessness that some may be struggling with. Help us to be witnesses in that and to grow in that through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.